update, you can get a space pen with a dreidel imprint and one with a Santa.
Oh, as gifts.
And one with a mustache.
As gifts. That's cute.
Candy hearts. Oh, my God. One that just says bitten in, like, vampire letters. I'm losing a lot of respect.
Ooh, no, the vampire one. Welcome to Drinkopedia for our next installment of this classic game. The game where one of us goes out and learns two topics for a week, comes back, gets drunk, and teaches the other two those very topics, or tries their very best. We're like 45% of the other podcasts out there, but we do it a lot better.
Bold statements.
Way better. No. Loads better. You should only be listening to our podcast.
God, we are making some fighting friends.
Oh, us and all the other good ones.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah, that's whatever's in your library. I like to keep it bold here. I'm Jason, and I'm joined here, as always, by Audra.
Hello.
Hello, Audra.
That is me.
Yes, how are you?
Living the dream.
Living the dream, which is being here with our drinker today.
Hi.
Hello, Matt.
Yep. I'm drinking.
Yep. Aggressive as always.
Oh, thank you. It's just my voice. I can't help it.
Yeah. I feel the flashbacks of oppression already from your people.
Oh, yeah. We did. We made you drink a lot. that's what we did.
Oh, my God. So much. But that's not my that's not my shtick today.
No.
It's yours.
Oh, it is. I'm feeling it.
What's helping you feel it today? A little something different.
Okay, so we're recording this on a lovely Saturday morning.
That's right.
So I felt like I needed something with coffee as well.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So Kahlua and cream, but I try to be as plant-based as possible. Well, not plant. Well, almonds are kind of plant. It's almond milk.
What are you talking about? They don't come out of cows?
squeeze them out like kidney stones?
Yeah. All those poor cows.
Yeah. Oh, they come from out of the ground, I see.
So Kahlua and almond milk, bit of ice, about, I don't know, like one part Kahlua, two part almond milk.
Oh, thank you.
Is what I'm rocking.
Oh, a little bartender Matt today.
So I'm just as like caffeinated and buzzed as I am tipsy.
The little duality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Nice.
Sugar high as well, yeah. A bit, probably.
Like Monster energy drink and vodka.
Ooh. That should be the next drink.
Ooh.
All right, so what are your topics that you're going to be covering this week, Matt?
Mm. Sorry, just had an extra drink there.
You're allowed.
My topics this week are kind of connected in that they're both sort of sci-fi, except one isn't fi.
Cool.
So I've got the space pen, which is a pen.
The Elon Musk pen.
Kind of.
Oh, really?
But not really.
Oh, okay.
But it's a space pen. It's a pen that can write in space. Wow. How does that happen? We'll find out.
Oh.
And the X-Files is the second one.
Is that the noise for the X-Files?
That's one of the noises,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I was confusing X-Files with that Rod Sterling shit.
Oh,
what is that show?
The Twilight Zone.
The Twilight Zone, that's what it is. That's not part of our generation at all.
No, a bit before our time.
And even
X-Files, I felt like I just missed being like a mega fan. If I'd have been like 5 years older, I think I'd be a mega X-Files guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of, supposedly, overlap between the X-Files and Supernatural,
what?
Which I'm into. There's a lot of cast overlap, apparently.
Oh, really?
I have not seen any X-Files, but I have seen a lot of Supernatural.
Yeah.
Not
too
all.
Too much. Too like, much of Supernatural.
I think I got to like season 9 before
I think I got farther than you before last time we talked. Out. Yeah, I think I got to like 11 or 12.
Ooh,
it's too much.
Gosh, your dedication is astounding.
It's taken about 8 years to do so. But who put the X-Files? Because I don't think any of us have seen the X-Files.
The X-Files came from Bodice Tipplers,
a
fellow podcast about trashy romance novels. Very, very funny, very good, very, very, very check it out is what I was going to say.
Very check it out, please. Thanks.
Yeah.
Excellent.
But yes, thank you for submitting the X-Files as a topic.
Yeah, thank you very much.
The truth is somewhere.
I guess that's a reference to that.
I think so.
Yeah. And then also Space Pen, that was one from you, Audra?
I think so.
What do you know about the Space Pen? Why'd you put it in? Do you have one?
No.
No.
I knew two vague things about Space Pens. One, space has some gravity issues that makes the flow of ink a pain in the ass.
That's correct.
So they just have squids in space, like a Flintstones cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Just squeeze that bitch.
That would be more convenient than what they actually do.
Oh, really?
I'm excited to learn because I knew that someone figured it out. And then there's a joke about they spent all this money. Why didn't they use a pencil?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Absolutely stolen one of my jokes. That's fine.
Sorry. So that is all I know about the Space Pen.
Oh.
Except for the fact that I want to know more about the Space Pen.
Yes, absolutely. But right before we do, Matt, I got to stop you right there because I know you were about to do something. Right
okay,
there.
Yeah.
But before we do,
okay,
I got to say something.
Yes.
You know, if you liked what we did right there, which was just be a couple friends, we have a Patreon, which you could support us on, which is nice.
Wait,
yeah.
People can support us?
And people do, which is the more shocking
That's
thing.
Crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
God, I love
Honestly.
Them.
Honestly. If you would also like to support us, that Patreon is patreon.com/drinkapedia. And you can support us for a single shot, a double shot, or a triple shot.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Hang on. What does that mean? you've confused me there by not using money.
Yeah, right. But you know what that means. That means a dollar, $2, or $3 USD.
You know, just whatever could go missing every month that you wouldn't notice.
Exactly.
If it fell down the back of your sofa,
uh-huh.
What amount would you not notice?
Yeah.
$1, $2, or $3.
That's the question here.
Quantify.
Maybe more dollars. Excellent. All right. So I think that plugs in. That plug is done.
Yes.
And we can get on with the show.
Okay.
What are you starting off with first, Matt?
I'm going to begin things with the space pen.
The space pen.
Yes. The pen of space. Specifically, the Fisher space pen. As that,
ooh,
that
like is Fisher Price?
No.
Oh.
Well, it costs the same price.
Oh, costs the price.
It's made by Fisher, and the price is probably high.
Yep.
I really imagined the same company that makes the little, like, remember the little wheel with an arrow? And it's like, the cow goes.
Yeah. The little egg people. That's the Fisher Price
people.
That's
them too.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
The shitty Legos.
Yeah. Well, it's not them.
No.
Damn it all. The Fisher Space Pen is the one everyone thinks of. It was invented in 1966.
Whoa.
Yes. Way on back. We'd started doing space missions, but not yet been on the moon.
Right.
That hadn't happened. As we all know, that famously happened in 1969.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Bonus points? No.
Okay. What is that for, man?
Nice.
You're not competing against anyone.
Okay, fine. the pen was designed so it could write at any angle because, as Audra said, gravity problems. Gravity problems are a thing. So it was made to be different to... So it was like a regular ballpoint pen in that the point is still a ballpoint.
Right.
But it's pressurized with nitrogen gas.
Whoa.
To allow the ink to like quickly shoot out or stay in the right area, uh-huh. I guess.
But how can you control? Because what if you're just like trying to write like the...
Yeah.
And then it goes... Poink.
Well, I think it just comes out at a normal rate because of the nitrogen pressure is optimized for space.
Interesting.
Yeah, because like when we write with pens, if you write upside down, it stops.
Mm-hmm.
I've never tried writing upside down.
You should.
If you write upside down or even like on a piece of paper that's like perpendicular to the floor.
Right.
For too long, it stops writing.
Huh.
Because gravity's pulling it down, man.
I never thought about that.
I mean, I signed up for a lot of things in school that had papers on the walls. and pens just stopped working regularly for me.
Yeah, I always think it's the shitty pen, and I start scribbling all over the place. Lick it, you know.
It's gravity, man.
Oh,
damn gravity!
God damn it!
As well as working in zero G or like anti gravity, no gravity, lots of too much gravity.
Space.
Instead of just working in space, it also works in a vacuum. If you needed to write in a vacuum. and also extreme temperatures.
You wouldn't survive in a vacuum, would you?
No, but your hand and a pen could.
Oh.
Don't know.
Like the little Bubble Boy situation.
I guess so,
yeah. You've got gloves in a box.
I think so.
Then if you need...
Bubble Boy needs a space pen. That's what. Also, extreme temperatures as well, like extreme heat, extreme cold. If you buy a volcano, doing dear diary, very hot.
Just take it to hell with you.
As you're writing, your like paper burns, and you're like, oh no.
Should have got the space paper.
Just at Office, like Office Max, just next to each other.
It's just way cheaper than the pen.
Yeah.
That's how they get you.
Yeah.
So on... So I think in October of... It can't be 1969, because that's when we went to the moon.
Nice.
October of 1968, sure. NASA buys a load of these pens, because they've been looking for something like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
The myth is that NASA spent a ton of money on developing this pen.
Right.
But actually, it was just developed by a private company... And then the company sold them to NASA at, like, I think it was $60 a pop or something.
Holy shit.
Which, because at the time, it was crazy technology.
Right. But even, like, I bet you a fountain pen, like a really fancy fountain pen.
Yeah.
Would cost you about $60, right?
See, well, here's the thing. Now like that I've said $60, I think it was actually $6.
What?
But that's maybe more like $60 now. I don't know.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
It's still a lot of money for a pen.
A lot back then.
In the 60s.
$6 right, back then was
the
a
point
lot
is, it's not a Bic. You're not working with a Bic.
Yeah. No.
Fuck Bic.
The ink itself is different as well, because it has to be. It has to behave differently. Now, okay, it's made with a type of ink. It's called a thixotropic ink.
Ooh, thixotropic?
Thicc.
Yeah.
Tropic.
CCCCC.
Yes, ink. And it's like it basically like glycol. Glycol?
That's a glycol. That's a real word.
Yeah, a thing.
I don't know what it is.
It's like shiny booze.
Oh.
Is what it is.
Ooh.
A little bit of ethanol mixed with ink and it to make shiny booze. Don't drink it.
Huh.
Ooh.
Audra's just redoing her voiceover
reel. Yeah.
That's just a soundboard.
I'm really trying to get into voice acting.
Oh, also, other places that it writes. Forgot about this.
Oh.
Altitudes of up to 1,200 feet. No, 12,000 feet. It can write super high in the mountains if you wanted to do
that. Can you not write super high in the mountains regularly?
Not with a normal one, apparently.
Huh. Okay.
But
so this is a dope-ass pen.
Yeah. And now I know what you're thinking, right?
Yeah.
Why is everyone bothering this in the days? Because this is pre-computer times. So you can't just say,
gotcha.
Why aren't you bringing an iPad? Because it doesn't exist, you idiot. So bring pencil. Pencils, right?
Uh-huh.
That's the thing that everyone should be doing. That's what the Soviets did. They just used pencils.
Ugh.
Americans kind of decided that
we're better
pencils
than that
would be dangerous because they could burn, like spontaneously combust in space.
Oh, interesting.
But then eventually NASA kind of figured out, well, even if it did, it would just and wouldn't be a big issue.
You're back on the volcano. Your paper burns, but then your pencil burns, and you're like, "Oh no, I can't write anything on anything."
Where's my space pen? there are still these pens used on the International Space Station today. There are still some pens on there. It's just most people now use typing or digital pens.
That's tight. Mm-hmm.
They're just there probably as the gimmick because the whole thing about these pens is that the ink in them lasts 100 years.
Whoa. That's pretty cool.
Don't know why. Don't know how.
Ooh.
Don't know how that makes any sense. No video or source I found disproved that.
That's true. Also,
because it would run out.
Right. But also, does the material, would the material you have written it on last 100 years?
No.
Right.
Surely not.
So why? Who the...
Okay. I would like to see how they have substantiated this claim because it has not been 100 years since the pen was invented.
Exactly.
Maybe they're half full.
Also, Declaration of Independence. We still got that kicking around somewhere in this.
That's true.
In this goddamn country.
That's true.
And this country's what, 200 years old?
Yeah, but the pen they wrote it with is
space.
Not.
No, space pen.
Is not still good.
But the ink was. And that's what they're claiming, right?
No,
but
I think they're claiming the pen.
I thought you said the ink would last 100 years.
Oh, the ink that's inside the pen.
Like, won't dry out.
Won't dry out. That's it. I'm drunk. I didn't really explain it well, but that's how that goes.
That's kind of interesting. You fucked up there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just so you know, I've been shopping for space pens.
Have you?
Yes.
How much are they now? Because you said they were like maybe $6 or $60. How much are they now?
Okay, there's very cheap ones.
On Amazon?
No, like on the Fisher Space Pen website.
Oh, whoa,
you can get
directly.
The most basic one.
All these different tiers.
For like $5 to $10, you can get like a super basic one.
That's nice.
And then if you sort price high to low.
Oh.
The SpaceX pen. The Elon Musk pen.
Yeah.
The flamethrower pen.
The flamethrower pen.
You can get the Apollo 11 limited 50th anniversary astronaut pen and coin set with space flown material.
Can we guess?
Yes. Guess the price.
$120.
No, no fucking way, dude. $250.
Higher.
What?
$1,000.
Not quite. $700.
$700.
I want to see that.
$700. Oh my God, there's multiple. There's two 700 ones. Astronaut Space Pen 45th Year Moon Landing Celebration Commemorative
These
Pen
are
and Box.
Bullshit,
you
like,
don't want to
celebrate.
Yeah,
ones.
You don't want to celebrate the 45th.
They're probably exactly the same as the basic one with some gold or some shit.
If I was like in my 50s or whatever and wanting to celebrate the 45th, I'd be like, wait for the 50th.
Yeah.
Wait for the big one.
Although, like, the Apollo 11 limited edition 50th anniversary astronaut pen and coin set does say...
Are we sponsored by Fisher?
Does say that it's with space flown material. That is the only thing that I think is acceptable.
Like you have
carbon fiber.
Bits of space.
Yeah.
Bits of space.
Like,
I want to see.
Like, something about this, I didn't look any deeper. Something about that was flown in space.
Hmm. I've seen better pens on the set of Lost. This is
you've been on the set.
The three of us have been watching Lost lately, and we've noticed how big the pen budget is on that show. There are so many pens. holy wow!
Yeah, holy wow! Very good of you. Oh, that's awesome, Matt. Is it?
Oh, I got some more for you.
You got some more.
A little bit more.
Ooh. I need more.
So the other thing, other than the Soviets did the pencils, and while NASA was still waiting on the purchase and development of the Fisher Space Pen, they tried like massive lightweight pens because so that it could really work on the mechanism. So they essentially had like biros that were like the size that you could grip in your hand.
Whoa. Oh, no.
That they wrote like this with. But
like those giant pencils in kindergarten.
Yeah.
But with tiny nibs, like tiny little nibs.
What?
Because that was the only thing that they had, and it weighed nothing in space. So it was this massively heavy mechanical pen that then weighed nothing when you took it into space.
But what's the point of that? Just like to see if they could do that?
Because they had to write shit.
Yeah, because they had to write shit.
But no one has to write shit by gripping the pen with their entire hand.
No, but that was the only mechanism they could get to work, something that needed that much thing.
Oh my
this was before the invention of the space
pen.
Oh,
this is before, mm-hmm.
Yes.
See. Oh.
Maybe should have led with that. Who knows? That's a pencil joke. Maybe should have led with that.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
If you want it to be.
Yeah,
it doesn't
absolutely.
Have to be.
I do.
And then they also tried felt tip pens for a bit, but that was a failed project and didn't really work.
Yeah.
God, they bleed through paper.
Uh-huh.
That's the problem in space.
And then the ink bleeds through?
Mm-hmm.
And then becomes droplets? Maybe?
I was making shit up. I don't actually know if that's the problem.
Oh, I don't know either. Oh, goodness.
And then just to finish off with a list of things of other things that the space pen can be written on. Or conditions in underwater, on grease,
whoa.
On the side of a horse, on grass, steam, strawberries, piss, tangible concepts, and oxymorons.
Yeah, oh, nice.
The space pen.
Yeah, very nice. That was very mad. This week, I don't think we have any. What do we call them?
Corrections,
fact checks.
Yeah, fact checks. We clearly have not made any mistakes.
Any comments, concerns, or questions made by our listeners?
But you can submit those
if you want to at our Twitter handle.
Yeah,
@Drinkopedia
Pod.
Pod.
I'm still trying to get that at Drinkopedia handle. Just,
yeah, absolutely.
So desperately.
We'll get working on it.
The account hasn't tweeted in 11 years. It should be ours.
Yeah, exactly. So you can definitely tweet at us, mention us. We also have an email if you have a lot of comments for us.
Yeah.
Or you just want, you know, you just like that form of communication. Maybe that's your thing. But that's drinkopediapod@gmail.com.
Correct.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for the validation. Maybe I don't run this shit. Yeah, I'm just here to have a good time.
Maybe we should just start saying wrong things.
Yeah.
Ooh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do it on purpose. I can't do it on purpose.
No. But Matt can, because he's plastered, and he's ready to talk about the X files.
Yep. Not the Y files.
No.
Not the Z files.
The
X files.
Pretty sure that's still the Twilight Zone. Oh wait, no, that one's Doctor Who. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that is Doctor Who.
I don't even watch Doctor Who, mm-hmm. And I know that. Damn it all. Well, aliens, right? Aliens at the FBI or something.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, the X-Files started in 1993, the year
I was born. Oh my God, really?
Whoa. Yep.
Those are two things you just hit me with there that shocked me.
And the original run ended in 2002. 9 seasons?
9 years?
202 episodes.
What?
Yes. That's a commitment.
What?
Yep. A whole phenomena.
I know
about
this was
a phenomena.
Oh, yeah.
That thing?
Gotcha. Yep. Yeah.
So what I feel like I should have watched The X-Files because, like, growing up with slightly older people who were like The X-Files and then, like,
right.
friends with people who are maybe a little bit older who are like, you didn't watch The X-Files?
Yeah.
It ended before I started properly consuming and watching my own television.
Yeah.
So
I think it ended before I could speak English. That's not true. I think I was in first
Almost.
Grade. Yeah.
It also had two films.
What?
One that was like during the run and then there was one like a few years after it finished that was both theatrical releases.
Oh.
So that's like quite big for a TV show
so
to get.
So X movie and X 2.
Yes.
Six seasons and two movies.
Nine seasons and two movies. Yeah.
Wow.
God.
That's ridiculous.
And then it came back for 16 episodes for a revival a few years back.
Yeah, and that did not go well.
It did
from
not.
From memory. Yeah.
Apparently, I don't know. Any X-Files fans, if you're listening to this, I definitely want to hear your thoughts about the X-Files because I'm coming to this as a brand new person. But I did watch the pilot. I have not just...
Good stuff.
I watched trailers, I watched interviews, I watched a whole lot of David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson on red carpets because they're cute.
Are they? I heard they hated each other.
Well, we'll get to that.
Oh, but my goodness.
They're cute as people.
Oh, okay. Separately.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
So, The X-Files, created by Chris Carter, a guy who has not really done anything else.
Except he did save all of Los Angeles with the help of Jackie Chan. In Rush Hour 2.
Oh.
Carter! Lee! Carter!
Was he called Chris Carter?
Yeah, his name is Chris Carter, yeah.
Outrageous. Absolutely
Chris
outrageous.
Chris Tucker plays Chris Carter.
That's...
Some people might know this. No, actually, I don't think any listener knows this about me.
Oh, yeah?
But I have this weird, like, backlog of Rush Hour 2 quotes in my head.
I love how it's just
the
Rush Hour 2.
Just Rush Hour 2. No.
Wasn't that the least well-received
one?
No.
Rush Hour 2 is the best.
Oh, okay. I got it wrong then.
Well, by the best. I just watched it a lot.
Okay.
I just watched it a lot.
Is the first one where the little girl gets kidnapped?
This is unrelated. Yeah. Rush Hour 3's got to be the worst.
I thought 1 and 3 were the ones that people still watched.
You're crazy.
No, it's... Look.
No.
I'm drunk.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That was... That's my little Jackie Chan spiel. I like Jackie Chan. I know we've talked about him. I still like him. I watched Karate Kid yesterday.
Check out the episode. He's not as bad as Dr. Seuss.
No.
We know that much. The X-Files. It was on Fox.
Oh, okay.
What was it all about?
Aliens.
It was about, FBI agents looking into supernatural and alien cases, also known as The X-Files.
The X-Files. Supernatural? Yes. Did they do like ghosties too?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Monsters, ghosties, aliens. I think aliens were like the prominent reason and thing for like the early seasons.
Had to be.
But then they expand it.
Because they ran out of ideas.
9 seasons is a lot of seasons.
Yeah. To just do aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell that to Supernatural. God.
Nah. 12.
Did they kill God?
49. How many now?
I think 14 is their 14? End. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
So it follows FBI agents Dana Scully, played by Gillian Anderson.
Okay. Scully's the girl.
Scully's the girl.
Yeah.
And Fox Mulder.
Ooh.
Fox, I see you. I see what you're doing there. Oh, you can just imagine the executive. Name one of the main characters after us.
Yeah.
Oh. That'll be good branding.
Whose first name is Fox?
Exactly.
Other than Fox McCloud, who is a literal fox.
It's just Rupert Murdoch getting his dirty little fingers all over something.
Spelled F-O-X?
Yeah.
Ew.
Exactly
no,
the same.
F-U-C-K. But with an accent.
Fox Mulder.
Okay. Mulder fucks. What?
Yeah. Oh, he does. And he's played by David Duchovny.
Right.
I thought that it was pronounced like Duchovny.
Sure.
But now that I've learned about it, yeah, Duchovny.
Yeah.
But it's just straight up Duchovny.
Duchovny.
Yeah.
Is that how he says it?
Yes. And it's how the Wikipedia pronunciation guide told me to say it.
Oh. Good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I watched the pilot of this to get an understanding. I really liked it, and I think I will be going away and watching some more. First note, the cold open is just like Twin Peaks.
I've never watched
Wrapped
Twin Peaks.
Wrapped in plastic.
Okay, not just like. But it involves a young woman being murdered in a Pacific Northwest forest, then local law enforcement coming and being like, oh, no, this girl went to my kid's high school and they were in the same class.
Oh.
And then cut to FBI agents on the road on the way. No, it was a bit before that, but there's another scene where the FBI agents are on the road on the way to the Pacific Northwest to solve this case. Now, Twin Peaks is basically that, but for the whole thing, this is more just the first adventure evokes Twin Peaks. Now, Twin Peaks only ended 2 years before this.
Okay.
So it was probably trying to, like, do a quote-unquote normal version of Twin Peaks that's, like, without David Lynch's weirdness kind of thing.
Okay.
And it works. It still works.
Minus the surrealism, but keep...
The supernatural.
Aliens.
Yes. So that's there.
Aliens.
I mean, no aliens in Twin Peaks, right?
Yeah, I was trying to look for something in there. But keep aliens?
from the get-go... we understand that Mulder, David Duchovny, is the kind of silly one,
sure,
and Scully is the serious, like,
by the books
woman in business in crime, trying to, like, she's got a lot to prove, so she doesn't have the time to be as much of a goof, whereas he's kind of the outsider reject FBI agent because he is being put onto the X-Files, and she's coming in as the top of the academy graduate sent in by her bosses to try and disprove everything that he's researching, like everything that he's looking into. But from the very start, she's like, no, there's something here. This guy is like legit. Like he, and I've seen some shit in this first episode already.
Oh yeah.
She didn't say that. She didn't say I've seen some shit in this first episode.
Yeah, I saw little gray men and they were walking around having a coffee.
Wow. Wasn't this pilot episode insane, yeah. Fox?
Oh God. So yeah, they have that kind of thing going on. Interesting little tidbit I learned. In real life, they're basically the opposite in terms of, like, David Duchovny is like atheist. Nothing that exists beyond this world is real.
Huh.
And whereas Gillian Anderson's kind of like crystals and like,
really?
Maybe that's a bit harsh, but like spiritual stuff, like there's definitely something out there. There's like,
interesting.
So it's like, even though one of them played the skeptic and one of them the believer, in real life, it was the complete opposite.
Interesting.
That's kind of cool. Cause you'd kind of know how to play off of the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At least I like to think so.
Huh. I don't know. Sometimes I come over here. Uh-huh. I don't, we all three don't believe in ghosts. I just find it fascinating that like 50%, about 50% of the population believes in ghosts. Even people who are like, no, I don't believe in God, they'll still believe in the heebie-jeebies in some form. And every now and then, I'll be like, sitting just hanging out with Matt as a friend. And I'll be like, Matt, but did you see this? It was crazy. And he's like, no. Yeah. You're not going to sit in my house and say that ghosts are real. And I'm not saying ghosts are real, Matt. I'm just saying it's kind of crazy.
I'm a big skeptic.
Sorry. Yeah.
And I'm not Gillian Anderson. I don't think. I don't think I'm the Mulder, but
you're in between.
You're
a Fulda.
No. Oh, I'm a Scolder. Scully Mulder.
Oh yeah, because I just blended the first and I'm the a last Mully. Name of
yeah. I'm a Mully.
A Fully.
No. I wouldn't.
It's almost as though these two characters represent the two halves of us.
Oh.
As viewers.
I think you believe in ghosts, man. I think you're lying to yourself.
I don't.
50%. It's got to be one of us, at least.
Yeah, you.
No, I don't believe in ghosts. I just like to entertain the idea because there's just too many of us in here who don't believe in ghosts.
And if you want to hear what we think about aliens, listen to the last episode.
Ooh, yeah.
While we're talking about the two central characters, you mentioned something earlier about them not liking each other.
That's
in real
a
life.
Rumor I heard, yeah.
That's true.
That's they hate each other?
Not hate. They just, while they were doing the full thing, it was lots of long, stressful days, and they have two very different personalities in real life. So it was a lot of, like, clashing in terms of that. But apparently, as soon as the show ended, they stayed in contact. And they've become best friends since the show finished.
That's cute.
So it's almost like they didn't like each other as co-workers, but like each other as friends.
Right.
That's fair.
And we grow as people.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
I heard a similar thing about Will and Grace. I think they hate each other as well.
Oh,
from
still?
The show Will and Grace. Still, yeah, I don't know.
To this day?
I don't know.
Does Will want to kill Grace?
That's how you reboot a series.
I don't even know what happens in Will and Grace, so I don't know what the premise
is. I don't even know if they're like a couple. I really don't know.
No, I don't know.
It was just in the background when I was a kid. Much like X-Files.
Put it in the hat.
But Will and Grace. I know it has Nick Offerman's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Megan Mullally.
Mullally, that's how you say it. But that's about it, yeah. That's all I know about that goddamn show.
They in the show itself. You sort of got a bit of flirting in the pilot, but apparently it's just a long, slow burn of sexual tension to the point where.
Oh, I'd love that.
There could be. There's like 100% platonic love between the characters.
Excellent.
But it's never like they never fully pulled the trigger on it because they want it to be this like sexual tension, kind of vibe. David Duchovny is very flirtatious in it, like. Gillian Anderson is just like, am I allowed to sexually objectify people if I sexually objectify both of them? Am I allowed to do that?
You can sexually objectify their characters?
Their characters.
Maybe?
Okay. So let's just do it and we'll see how it sounds.
Oh, God.
So like Scully is the first one we meet and she walks into the building like, holy shit, she is hot shit. She is here. Business suit, 90s. Really, I'm glad this style is going to come back in fashion. It's excellent.
Yeah.
She walks in, marches right through this office full of men, and just like absolute powerhouse, absolute unit.
Yeah.
And then,
big dick energy.
Yeah. And she like is on the level of her superiors kind of thing in terms of how she communicates with them.
Awesome.
And then she's sent into the basement to work with David Duchovny, with Mulder, who's like literally legs up in an office chair.
Yeah.
Long hair flopping over his face.
Oh, long hair.
Like I can't remember I think he had a toothpick is what he had. And he was just like, just so casual, cooler than anything else.
Yeah.
Like already instantly making jokes and flirting with her.
Yeah.
And I was like, yep, I want both of these things.
That's interesting that they never ever realized.
Pull the trigger.
They never pulled the trigger. Because in Bones, dude, I watched Bones.
Oh, yeah, Bones?
For a bit, yeah.
Bonetown?
Similar vibes, right?
But they actually pulled the trigger. In fact, they get married and all this other stuff. And that's when I think interest stopped during Bones' run, was when they actually did finally pull the trigger. And not only did they pull the trigger and it wasn't like, oh, they're together, but then they break up, but then it's together. It's like they're just boring people who are married now.
Yeah, it's will they, won't they is where the interest is.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's after Jim and Pam get together.
It's boring.
Then Jim and Pam is not a thing that anyone cares about anymore.
That's true. Yeah, they get married. Ugh.
Yeah, it's all about Aaron and Gabe after that.
Wait, Gabe? Oh, the skinny guy?
Yeah.
No, she hated him. She said hugging him was like hugging a skeleton.
And I can relate to that. So it's important to mention, especially immediately after sexually objectifying her, that Scully and Gillian Anderson's portrayal of Scully was very much, she was a feminist icon in the 90s, like massively. The way she talks about how this character was written compared to all of the other characters that she auditioned for,
right?
Like before and after.
Tight.
It's just like, this wasn't, yes, it was still the 90s, like, boss bitch idea of what feminism is.
Yeah.
But that hadn't existed yet. Right. It was brand new.
Hmm.
And so I think it was important. There are even a lot of things that suggest that she got lots of women involved in either science or, police investigation and stuff, where people 10 years later had on their application, like, I was in... The reason I wanted to be this is because of the X-Files.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Huh.
You said, like, it didn't exist before, and there are people who want to be that boss bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Not every woman has to be that.
No.
But there are people who want to be that and to see it shown on a screen.
Yeah. Yes.
And, like, an example of this is what it can look like makes it way more realistic to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
I still want to be a boss bitch.
Yeah, you can be. Thanks to Scully.
Thanks to Scully.
So the rest of the pilot kind of follows like procedure. I'll ignore that. The rest of the pilot kind of follows procedural beats, like the same as the thing. So I feel like the rest of the series will just be like crime of the week, like Supernatural, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Supernatural. I never watched X-Files. I kind of got into Fringe as a young
lad. Oh, yeah, Fringe as well.
When it was like...
That had much more of an overarching narrative, I feel.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, Supernatural starts out as thing of the week and then turns into an overarching narrative.
That's
so
true. And I think X-Files does, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm going
to
expect.
In 9 seasons, it can't be constant week to week.
But I mean, even...
CSI.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Even though this felt like quite a stock story to me, I was like, actually, in 1993, there weren't that many examples of thing of the week. There were a couple of, like, I think Law and Order had started.
Scooby-Doo.
Of course, it was cartoons.
Scooby, yeah.
But there weren't, like, many primetime dramas that had that in place.
Yeah.
So I think it was kind of good that... It looks like tropey and stereotypical now, but in the context of 1993, way ahead of its time because all of the noughties was full of procedurals and stuff. So, oh, also, it looks like the FBI are also the big bad, like the enemy from within.
Yeah.
There's a guy who, and I only know this because I read more about the tropes of the series and stuff like that, but there's a guy in the first episode where Scully is being told about this stuff called the cigarette smoking man. And he's just stood
in
the corner.
90s.
Yeah, it was everyone. Yeah. It was healthy back then. he was stood in the corner smoking a cigarette, but he doesn't have any lines. And then at the end of the episode, he like hides the file from the case that they've done deep in the Pentagon somewhere.
Ooh.
So it's like, and then he is built up over time where he was originally cast as just a creepy looking extra, but then he becomes the primary antagonist of the whole thing.
Okay.
So I think he's supernatural himself. Like he's also a demon or an alien or some mad thing.
Yeah.
But he's just known as the cigarette smoking man.
We got to watch X-Files now.
Yeah, it's a good hook, isn't it? That's like a really good hook.
Huh.
And I kind of spoiled it for myself and other people by saying that, but Scully from the very get-go looks at him like, oh, he's something.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. I'm in it.
It was also one of the first shows to properly utilize internet culture, like internet fan culture, with the old like dial-up AOL chat, like forums.
Yeah.
And they would tease, like the episodes didn't have official titles, but they gave them to the fans online. Like the episode that airs in a week is called this.
Right.
And then fans started to pick apart what it would be about and stuff like that. So it was one of the first shows to do that.
That's pretty sick.
It's pretty cool.
I like that a lot.
And Entertainment Weekly said after the first few episodes that it would be dead on arrival and would not be a success. Nine
Idiots.
Seasons, 202 episodes later.
Yeah.
What do you know? The media sucks.
2 theatrical movies.
Yep. Massive cultural phenomena. But hey, that's the X-Files. I'll be watching more of the X-Files because I kind of like that style. I like the fashion.
Ooh.
As weird as that sounds to just watch a show,
as
background noise, it'll be great aesthetics. The two leads are very strong. Gillian Anderson's roles in the last 5 years have been amazing, so it'll be good to watch some The Thing that made her famous.
Yeah.
Yeah. X-Files.
Woo.
Why not?
What? That's still the wrong theme.
Oh, yeah.
What's the sound effect?
It's. I'm going to do it, okay?
Oh, okay.
Ba-da-da-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum.
Oh!
Ba-da-ba-dum, ba-dum,
ba-dum. Oh, it's I like, do know that one. Well, thank you, Matt, for a little bit of that science fiction and science fact.
Oh, yes.
The pen was the fiction, the X-Files.
All true.
Fact.
Yes.
What is it? What's that goddamn
The fact
phrase?
Is out there.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, next episode, we also got to pick our topics. And from yes. our chart here, it's Audra's turn.
Yes.
It is I. The turn is mine.
Oh, okay, Audra. You are choosing from what hat today?
This is a space helmet. I made it with a fishbowl.
Nice.
It's not real.
No.
Don't take it to space. You could take the pen to space. I'm going to order one.
Good.
But don't go up into space with this helmet thinking your space pen will work because you'll be dead. You can't use your space pen.
Yeah.
Mm.
I got to put my Acme rocket that I have on hand
yes.
away.
And put your fishbowl helmet on.
Yeah.
I bet you could probably sell that to Elon Musk. The fishbowl helmet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Buy this. Probably, yeah. You can go to space.
Yeah. He'll do it. Yeah. I think he's the Robert Downey, like not the Robert Downey Jr. I think he's the Iron Man of our generation, the closest we'll ever get.
Beware the modern billionaires raised on fiction.
Yep.
They're going to be dangerous.
Yep.
So I'm going to draw three topics.
Oh, yes.
Read them out. Put one back.
Yes. As is the format.
It's a good format point. Come on.
You got to give us props. You don't have to. Okay.
But please rate us 5 stars on Apple Review.
Yes.
On Spotify, whatever you can, you know.
God, shameless. My three topics.
Yes.
I have the Maillard reaction.
Ah. It's cooking.
It's cooking.
It's cooking.
I would never have guessed.
I learned that from Bon Appetit with Brad Leone on YouTube.
And then the Flying Dutchman.
Oh, big scary ghost chip.
You're good. You're good.
Yep.
You're good. Do you remember that from SpongeBob?
Yes.
Wee, 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 wee.
The Frying Dutchman.
The Frying Dutchman.
And third one is lol IKEA. Okay.
IKEA.
So I'm going to be doing the Maillard reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Flying Dutchman.
And the Flying Dutchman.
That's the quickest IKEA has ever been booted out.
No, from
an option.
I don't know why we have it in the hat. I didn't want it back in the hat.
It's
for the
staying
lols.
There
no.
until someone picks it.
Honestly, it's just there for my personal lols now.
I might do it just to
get it done.
Yeah.
100th episode, maybe. Maybe IKEA.
What are we on? 70?
62?
Not 69.
Maybe
for 69.
Maybe for 69?
Maybe
IKEA?
For 69.
Ooh, we got to do some kind of special something or other episode topics for 69.
Yeah.
I can think of a couple things.
No, not in the studio.
Okay.
Alrighty, so next week, catch us with Audra doing the Maillard reaction.
Yes, Bon Appetit.
Bon Appetit and the Flying Dutchman.
Scary ghost chip.
It's also an In-N-Out secret menu item.
What?
It's just
bon
cheese
appetit?
And pickles. No, the Flying Dutchman.
Oh.
It's cheese and pickles.
So, like,
I hate
bun.
That.
Yeah, I'll have a Maillard reaction, please. Drinkopedia was not recorded before a live studio audience and was presented by Jason Nguyen, Audra Stevenson, and Matt Watson. Music by Mojo Kid and produced by Onsuo.